Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good evening, everybody. How are you tonight? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Thursday night, April the 19th. And we got a jam-packed show for you today, as there is a ton to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. We get later on in the podcast, I'll be joined by our very own in-house draft. Our draft expert, Brett Legacy, and we will break down the safety and cornerback positions in this upcoming draft. Brett's been on the podcast probably every week now for a month or more, as we have broken down running backs, offensive linemen, what else? We did the quarterbacks, linebackers, tight ends, pretty much every position on the field. And today is our final position breakdown, as we are 1 week away from the draft, where we break down the safeties and cornerbacks who might be in play for Miami in this draft, some sleepers, and who would be a good fit there. After that, we will be joined by Jeff and Landon. They are the new co-hosts of our new podcast that will be debuting soon here at DolphinsTalk.com, the Landon and Jeff Show at DolphinsTalk.com. It's a new podcast, which I think will drop either next week or the week after. They are the co-hosts. Jeff is a father, Landon's a son, and it's sort of a generations podcast, as a father and son will be talking about the Miami Dolphins and each giving their perspective on the team and on all the happenings with the Miami Dolphins from their point of view and such. So that is interesting. We'll have Jeff and Landon on the podcast later on. But before I get to all that stuff, we got to talk about the news of the day, and there was pretty much two big news items of the day. First and foremost is the release of the 2018 Miami Dolphins schedule, which was just released officially by Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald about, at the time I am recording this, 20 minutes ago. And I know for days and weeks there's been leaks. Week one, Miami's playing Jacksonville. Well, that was wrong. They're playing Jacksonville week 16. So everyone who leaked that was wrong. And there was all a bunch of rumors. And everybody's going, I got it first. No, I got it first. No, I got the rumors first. No. You know who had it first? Armando Salguero had it first, because he had it first and accurate, and everybody else who was putting out stuff and taking shots in the dark were just taking guesses. So Armando, he released it just before 8 o'clock. He had the official Miami Dolphins schedule first, so I want to give him credit. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because, look, it's tough to read anything from the schedule. Miami knew, and we all knew, all the teams they would play in 2018. Now they're just in order of when they'll play them. You can't read much into this, folks. You can't read much into this. You can't take anything away from the schedule. If you try to read too much into it, you're just setting yourself up to look like a fool. That's essentially what you're doing if you try to read anything into this. Because, you're saying, well, Miami playing the Packers in November is going to be cold. It's not. Yeah, but if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt the week before, that game becomes becomes very winnable and much easier. And nobody can predict that now. So if you're the type who will look at the schedule, well, that's a win, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a loss. Please. It's an utter waste of time. So do not read anything in the schedule. We haven't had the draft yet. There are still a bunch of guys out there who could be signed via free agency who are pretty good. I mean, sure, they're not the top guys, but there's a bunch of quality guys out there who can still be signed who are pretty good. And we still got the draft. So none of these rosters are set. Trying to take a shot here and read anything into the schedule is really an utter waste of time. But there's a couple things worth pointing out, and let's go through it. First off, let me read through the schedule. And I'm going to read it quick because if most of you are listening to the show online, and if you're online, you can probably find the schedule online. So let me just read through it quick. Week one, home Tennessee, then at the Jets, home Raiders, at the Patriots, at Cincinnati, home Bears, home Lions, at Houston on a Thursday night. It's the only primetime game they have. Then home Jets at Green Bay, bye week, November 18th, late bye. That's good. Then at the Colts, home against the Bills, home against the Patriots, at Minnesota, home Jacksonville, at the Bills. Couple things. Week 17, Miami's at the Bills. That is something they requested. They requested a Week 17 game on the road. The NFL did accommodate because Hard Rock Stadium is being used for the Orange Bowl, as it is every year. And this year, it is a national semifinal game. So they want to spend as much time in Hard Rock preparing for that game as possible. So the Miami Dolphins asked Week 17 be on the road. The NFL accommodated. The other request Miami put in, and they only put in two this year. It was just two. I talked to someone who's tied in. Miami only put in two requests. That was one. The other one is they asked for a late bye week. The NFL, once again, accommodated. They get the bye week before Thanksgiving, pretty much the latest week you can have. So they get their bye week on November 18th. So a late bye week. So the NFL, they came through for both Miami requests. The other thing, just looking at the schedule, that there's no three road games in a row this year. And that's not just for Miami. That is league-wide. The NFL this year stopped having teams on the road for three straight weeks. So this year, the Miami Dolphins will not have to play three straight road games on the road. So that's a plus. The Thursday game, the Thursday night game, this works out perfectly for Miami. There's an NFL rule, and I want to check the official wording, but the rule is that each and every NFL team must have a national television game over the course of a year, which means pretty much every team plays at least one Thursday night game, although if you're one of the teams that is playing in London and that game is broadcast nationally, that would qualify as a Thursday. So Miami was going to get at least one national game this year, and after last year's miserable showing on Sunday night against the Raiders, on Monday night against the Panthers, the Thursday night game against the Ravens, they had so many national television games last year, and they pretty much looked awful in all of them. The NFL this year, you know, was not going to put them on national television a lot, so they got one game, October 25th at Houston. Why am I talking about that one in particular? Because here's why. The week before that game, Miami's home against the Lions. The week after that game, Miami's home against the Jets. So with the short week, Miami's going to be home on a Sunday, travel and play Houston on a Thursday. Then you get that little extended mini bye, and they're home again for the Jets. So that's nice. That's nice on the Thursday night game. You're not going from a road game, then another road game on a Thursday, or anything like that. Or you're not playing a road game on a Thursday, and then your next game's on the road as well. So the Thursday night game is sandwiched between two home games, which is good. Once again, as I talked about on this podcast a few weeks back, no West Coast trips this year, just how it worked out the schedule and who Miami plays. They will play all their games in the Eastern time zone or the Central time zone. No Mountain time zone games, no Western time zone games. So Miami will be in both of those time zones. Overall, looking at the schedule, the Dolphins, cold weather games, week 17 at the Bills is what it is. But they do get the Jets and Patriots at home in September, which is good. That's what you'd rather have because you want to limit. Look, we're the Miami Dolphins, hence Miami. They're not going to play well in snow. Never have, never really will, with the exception here or there. So they will be home. They will be playing their road games against the Jets and Patriots in September. Obviously, don't have to deal with the weather. And only one division game where the weather is a factor, the Bills, week 17. Other than that, the weather's really not a factor. December 16th, they're at the Vikings. Obviously, that game's indoors. November 25th, at the Colts. Obviously, that game's indoors. November 11th, against the Packers. Pretty much the only game where I guess the weather could potentially be bad. But that's November 11th in Green Bay. You know, it might be a little chilly or brisk. The odds of it being like a blizzard or snow or anything is slim. It's possible, but slim. It's possible, but it's slim. So really only one weather game you'd have to think about, and that's Week 17. And let's be honest, that game might be meaningless, so it might not even be an issue, the weather. But overall, the schedule looks good. And, you know, I've been reading things online, reading tweets, people sending me tweets, and reading some guys in the media. And right now, there's a show on the NFL Network. Well, this team get off to a fast start. That team's got a hard second half of the year schedule. Give me a break. Folks, please, again, do not read anything. Nobody even knows what these teams are yet. The rosters aren't close to being set. Like I said, free agents still out there. You still have the draft. To think you can get off to a fast start, you got a hard second half of the season, you start looking at that stuff in August, September. Doing it in April, you're just wasting your time. You cannot read that much into it. Miami's got Tennessee week one. Tennessee's a quality team. To think they're going to be a great team or a terrible team or anything, I mean, Tennessee's a quality team, but, and they got the Jets. Nobody knows who the Jets are. Nobody knows who's going to be their starting quarterback or anything like that. It's impossible to predict this stuff. So don't read anything into it. Don't be one of those guys who go, well, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a loss. It's just, you're wasting your time. So the schedule's out. We'll have it up on the website for those of you who want to print it out. And kudos to Armando Salguero for having the official schedule out first from the Miami Herald. He once again, probably the best reporter covering the Miami Dolphins out there today. He does tremendous work. The other news of the day was the uniforms that were leaked or that were released and the changes that were made to the uniforms, I guess what I'm trying to say. And the changes, again, nothing crazy. Nothing crazy. Pretty much, and give credit to Brian Miller at FinFanatic.com who had the picture of the new uniforms first. So kudos to Brian Miller, who we will be having on this podcast shortly as a guest. Him and his group over at FinFanatic.com do outstanding work. And he did have the pictures of them first, so I want to give him credit as well. The uniforms are pretty much being called historically modern because you still have the new logo, but the it still has like an old school look to it. The orange is a little bit darker, and it makes the aqua stand out more. And the uniform does overall have a much cleaner look, has a much more of a classic look. I think they removed some of the blue that was in the uniform, which wasn't much, but the little that was there is now gone. So I like it a lot. Once again, as I said in this podcast a few months back, I'm not a big uniform guy. I'm fine. And I like the look a lot more than I did yesterday, put it that way. So it's small changes, nothing drastic. They really didn't change much at all. If you didn't tell someone, they probably won't even notice. And to the people who are still complaining about the logo and want to go back to the old logo, I hate to break it to you, but I think it's time to get over it and move on. They're not going to go back to the throwback logo full time. They just aren't. I understand. The throwback logo is better. You know it's better. I know it's better. 99% of the people who are fans of the Miami Dolphins know it's better. And probably the people who make the decisions in the front office know it's better. But they're just not going to go backwards and make that the full-time logo. You're going to get that logo twice a year every year. Two home games a year, they're going to wear the throwbacks, and you're going to see the old uniforms and see the old logo, but they will never, and you can save this podcast and mark the day and time, April 19th, they will never go back to the old logo full-time. So you can stop crying about it, stop complaining about it, stop talking. It's just not going to happen. The Miami Dolphins are a business, and they're running this business where we got the new logo, and we will sell you all the merchandise, hats, shirts, jerseys you want with the new logo. And for people who want the old logo, the throwback, the classic logo, we're going to sell you the same merchandise with that too. They're going to double dip, and they're going to sell you merchandise with each logo because they know some fans are going to buy both. And some fans are going to buy one. They're going to make money off all the Miami Dolphins fans, the ones who will always want the new stuff with the new logo, and the ones who only want the old stuff. Well, we're going to sell you the throwback stuff too. So, excuse me, to get rid of one of those logos makes literally no sense because then they are losing a revenue stream, and they're not going to lose a revenue stream, and they're not going to do that. So I think it's time. Because now they're locked in for another 5 years with this uniform. So by the time they can make another change, you're going to be with this current logo, the quote-unquote new logo, for about 10 years. And it's just not They're not going to change from it, folks. They're just not. So I get it. Everybody likes the old one, but we're not going to change to it. So it's time to move on from that and such. In other news, it was reported yesterday by Joe Shad of the Palm Beach Post that the Miami Dolphins are most likely going to pick up the fifth-year option on Devontae Parker. They have till May, I want to say the 8th, but I'm not positive if that's the exact day. I'll try to look that up and have it for you in the next podcast. But they most likely will pick up the fifth-year option. Now, I know a lot of fans have been sending me tweets and emails saying, what does that mean? It means, honestly, it means literally nothing. Because the fifth-year option, as we saw this year with Juwan James, can be rescinded next year, and you're not really tied to it. It's one of those no harm, no foul type of things. What it means is, when you draft someone in round one, you hold their options for can't hold them for up to 5 years, as opposed to every other rookie, which you hold up to 4 years. So with James, the Miami Dolphins, if they want, can announce they're not going to pick up the fifth-year option, which means after the 2018 season, Devontae Parker is a free agent and he can leave and sign with anybody. If you pick up the fifth-year option, then Parker is tied into you on Miami next year for 2019, and his salary is set via some formula of some sort. And so Miami would hold his rights. What Miami will do with Parker, sounds like, from the report of Joe Shad, is the same thing they did with James. They will pick up the fifth-year option, and next year after the season, February, March, they will have the option to say, nah, we're going to pull it back. You're a free agent. You can go if you want. Or they can say, nope, we're going to hold you for one more year. Or, of course, they could sign to a long-term deal. So in 2018, Devontae Parker is really playing for a lot because he's playing for a lot of money, really, because if he plays well, the Miami Dolphins will hold on to him for year five or maybe even give him a big contract extension to keep him around. If he plays bad, they're going to say, we don't want you for one more year. You're a free agent, and then he's going to be on the open market coming off a bad year, and not a lot of teams are probably going to want to pay him big bucks. So this is a big year for Parker financially. But it looks like from the report of Joe Shad that Miami will pick up the fifth-year option. So, like I said, it's a no harm, no foul type of thing. Nothing to get excited or upset about because they can remove that at any time and not really be hurt by it at all. Last thing I want to talk about before we get to Brett Legasse is it was a report today when John Elway spoke to the media. He said the fifth pick of the NFL draft is up for sale, meaning he is more than willing to trade out of spot number five, and if someone wants to make him an offer, he would consider trading down. So we all know the Miami Dolphins have been rumored, talked about trading up in round one to get a quarterback, and now we know at least for sure one team is open to the idea of trading out and trading down. So we'll see. Again, as I've said many times on this podcast, we know the teams that want to trade up for a quarterback. They are Miami, they are the Buffalo Bills, they are the Arizona Cardinals, and now I guess you can throw in the New England Patriots. Those are probably the four. And then you got the Broncos now saying they're open to trading down, which the only thing that tells me is this, that they probably don't want a quarterback in round one. Because if they wanted a quarterback in round one, they wouldn't have said this. Now, of course, this could all be a smokescreen. It could be. I totally understand that. But here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking out of the four quarterbacks, they might like one or two of them, the Broncos, and they figure those guys will be gone by pick five. So it's a safe thing to say, hey, that pick's up for sale. Send us an offer. Because they don't expect the guy or two they like to be there. Maybe they're not in love. Maybe they're only in love with one or two of the quarterbacks, essentially. So if they are, they're willing to trade down. The problem here with Denver is the teams who want to trade up are all outside of the top 10. So at pick five, if you're the Broncos, you can get a stud player. You can get one of the stud linebackers. You can get Ward out of Ohio State. You can get Nelson from Notre Dame. You're going to get a quote-unquote can't-miss guy at five. If you trade down to 11 or 12 or 15 or even lower with the Patriots, you're getting, you're not assured to get one of those can't miss guys. Now, sure, pick 11 and 12, you're going to get a really good player, but you're not going to get, you know, someone on the level of Roquan Smith probably, or Ward, or Nelson. Those guys are going to be long gone. So if you're the Broncos, you can say, okay, we can trade down and pick up more picks, but you have to be resigned to the fact that you're not going to get that stud in this draft. And when you're sitting at five, that's really tough to pass up, because when you take the quarterback sort of out of the equation, the Denver Broncos sitting there at five, you know, they have a chance to maybe get Chubb. They have a chance maybe to get Saquon Barkley. If the Giants take a quarterback at two, that means either Chubb or Saquon Barkley will be there at five. Are you going to trade out then to get more picks? I doubt it. I think they probably think that Saquon Barkley's gone at two, that Mayfield's gone at three, that Chubb's gone at four. Maybe they don't love Rosen. Maybe they don't love Josh Allen. They're like, we don't want either one of those guys. And then they're looking to trade down. So that picks up for sale openly. Again, the Buffalo Bills have the most to offer. So if they want that pick, the Bills, they're going to get it, because they got a ton of picks in this draft. And if they want one of those, if they want to move up, they can offer more than Miami can, period, end of story. So there's that. That comes into play. But then you got to think about the Bills. Are they in love with all these quarterbacks? There was a rumor that the Buffalo Bills do not like Josh Rosen. They just don't think he'd be a fit inside of their organization and inside the community of Western New York, for some of the things Rosen has said off the field and some of his beliefs that he has made public off the field. They just think it's a bad fit. So if, say, one goes Josh Allen, two goes Sam Darnold, three goes Mayfield, the Bills might not want to trade up to five, because they're like, we don't want Rosen. Now, if you're the Miami Dolphins and you want Rosen, that helps you out a lot, a real lot. But we'll see how this plays out. And we're going to talk about this more next week, about possible scenarios, possible strategies, because there's going to be a ton of rumors and a ton of reports over the next week. And you don't know what to believe, because some of it might be all crap and smokescreens, but some of it might have some truth in it. And today, when John always said that the pick's up for sale, I kind of believe him, that he's probably thinking the one or two guys we like are probably going to be long gone by five, and we are more than open to trading this pick. So we'll see how it plays out in the next week or so. So let's get right to my chat today with Brett Legassi from right here at DolphinsTalk.com, as he breaks down the cornerbacks and safeties in this upcoming 2018 NFL Draft. Brett Legassi is with me tonight on the podcast as we do our final position breakdown of the 2018 NFL Draft, as we will break down the safeties and the cornerbacks. Brett, how are you doing tonight?
I am good. I'm ready for this draft, 1 week away.
Oh, it can't come soon enough. I am so tired of the mock drafts and stuff. This draft needs to be moved up at least 1 week in April, because it lasts too long with the talk and the buildup and the hype. I am so ready for this draft. They really do need to move this up a week or two, because it drags out too long, I think. But tonight we're going to talk about the safeties and the cornerbacks. Before we talk about the guys in the draft, it was reported last week that the Miami Dolphins have some interest in free agent safety Kenny Vaccaro from the Saints. Brett, what's your thoughts on Miami possibly signing him? Would he be a fit with the Dolphins? Can he play free safety, you think? So share some thoughts on Kenny Vaccaro.
All right. Well, Kenny Vaccaro, he definitely can be interchangeable. And what I like with that is he can do some of the same things that McDonald and Jones can do. So what I think is he can do those things, but I do think he can cover over top a little bit better than Jones and McDonald. However, covering over top is not a special skill. A lot of guys, as long as they have discipline and stick to their coaching, they can do just fine playing over top, as long as your corners do their job too, which – to me, it looks like our corners do a very good job at jamming at the line of scrimmage and keeping hands on to give the safeties a little help. Now, Rashad Jones had two picks from Cordarrelle Tank-Curse tipping the ball. And he's not exactly a great deep coverage guy. But I think Vaccaro has a little bit more speed, a little bit more elusiveness, or a little bit more flexibility and agility to run with the receivers a little better. I do think he covers running backs a lot better than Jones and McDonald. However, last year he did not. Now, I know last year they drafted a new safety. I think it was Marcus Williams, I think is his name. He kind of took over the free safety spots, and Vaccaro kind of had to step in the box and play a little different role. But it depends on how much, but I think he could be a fit. Again, he could do what McDonald's and Jones does so they can interchange and keep the offense trying to figure out who's covered, who's blitzing, which that will help. And it kind of give you that extra, instead of having three linebackers, you have two linebackers and three safeties. Give you a little bit better coverage options. But I don't know if he's really that much better at coverage to really spend money on him when you could draft somebody instead.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think he might be too similar to McDonald and Jones, and he might not be worth what Miami would have to pay to acquire him. But it is an option, and it is out there, and something to keep an eye on. Now, in the draft, we've seen a million mock drafts, and at number 11, we've seen the possibility of Miami selecting the safety Derwin James out of Florida State or Minka Fitzpatrick from Alabama if he slides a bit. So that is a possibility for Miami if they stay at pick number 11. You would think one of those guys might possibly be on the board. Let's talk about those two guys. Compare and contrast them. How are they very much similar? How are they not? And how would they each fit in Miami? I know Fitzpatrick, some places also list him as a cornerback, but he can also play safety. He's sort of a hybrid in that regard. So talk a little bit about James and Fitzpatrick and compare them.
All right. Where they are very similar is, and I just watched more tape of them last night, and I did more breakdowns. And what I really see with those two is both of them were used as a chess piece in 2017. Now, James has always been used as that chess piece. Fitzpatrick played a little corner before being used as a chess piece. But both of them, I watched them, and I think it's a new age safety thing in college. They both lined up over the slot receivers. If a running back or tight end was flexed out, they were lined up one-on-one. And sometimes if there was too many mismatches, those guys would be lined up as the safety over top, especially when there's a trips package or a heavy set, they were lined up as the safety over top of those. So some teams are running like Florida State, especially, were running three safeties quite often. And James and Fitzpatrick both have done a great job at covering shifty receivers out of the slot, running backs coming out of the backfield. And if you look at the article I posted, it's got GIFs of them in there. And you can see James covering a running back on a wheel route, plays it perfectly, intercepts the ball. Those two both can do those kind of things and make plays. Now, where they differ is – I can line up Derwin James outside, but usually only gets a running back or a tight end. But a true wide receiver like who Miami may face this year, like Allen Robinson, somebody like that, Derwin James might be able to cover him. It just depends, but he might struggle. Minka Fitzpatrick, on the other hand, you can leave him one-on-one outside, especially in a red zone where he excels, and he's going to lock the receiver up, and he's going to be really good outside. Sometimes they both get aggressive. They both have that mentality where they're very good blitzers and they will blitz. And sometimes they get caught on they hesitate because of play action and it freezes them enough to get receivers behind them. But if they can work on toning down the aggressiveness, I think both of them are going to be fantastic playmakers in the NFL. However, I have James ranked just slightly higher than Fitzpatrick, not by much.
Yep.
But James is a rare combination.
Yeah, and look, they're both great players, and if the Miami Dolphins took either one of them in round one, it would be great. You can't complain. Both these guys, I think, are legit NFL stars. So if Miami went either way, no complaints, I think, there. Now, let's talk about some other safeties here in the draft, because there's a couple other guys here who I think might be fits if Miami waits till either the second round or the third round. One is Ronnie Harrison out of Alabama. Talk a little bit about Ronnie Harrison and what he brings to the table.
Well, let me tell you about Ronnie Harrison. This year, I have not been able to cover 500 scout or 500 players like I wanted to, right? But
come on, Brett,
good maturity.
Come on, Brett. 500 is nothing.
But I've been able to cover at least 300. But Ronnie Harrison, I saw him play a little bit here and there. But I was actually watching Minkah Fitzpatrick last night, and I already knew about Ronnie Harrison, but I actually found out about him watching Minkah Fitzpatrick last year. And this dude kept standing out. I'm trying to focus on Minkah Fitzpatrick. Here's Ronnie Harrison making a play. So there's a perfect play that I posted on my own Twitter account. I didn't do it in the article. I actually highlighted both Ronnie Harrison and Minkah Fitzpatrick were facing a dual tight end set. Both of them covered one-on-one, and Harrison was able to make the play against I believe it was Wisconsin, their number one tight end. Oh, excuse me, Arkansas. I was looking at the wrong one. They both locked down a tight end, and Ronnie Harrison is more of a hitter, and he kind of reminds me of like Landon Collins out of Alabama a couple years ago, where he'll come up and hit you, but he's got decent coverage skills in short area. Not quite as good as Minkah Fitzpatrick or James covering, but he's definitely a guy that you could have in the box, a little bit similar to McDonald, a little bit better coverage ability, and he's very physical. He doesn't give anybody a free release, even a tight end. He will get physical with a lot of scrimmage with a tight end and not give them that free release. That's very similar to what James does, which is very crucial to ruin the timing of routes. And in the NFL, especially the Packers, the Dolphins are going to face the Lions, they're all about their timing offense, and that's going to change. And the Bears, another team that they're going to face this year with timing, New England. So guys like that, like Ronnie Harrison, he can disrupt the timing, and he's going to bring the thud when he hits, which I love to watch.
Yep, absolutely. And another guy who I want to talk about is, I know, is someone who visited with Miami too recently, I think last week, is Justin Reed out of Stanford. I know a lot of people are very high on Reed, very high on Reed. And from everything I've seen on him and read on him, he looks like he might be a true free safety. What are your thoughts on Reed?
Reed has a high ceiling. I mean, I don't know if you know this, his brother is Eric Reed.
Yep.
Who he started out in the NFL as more of a strong safety, but as his career went on, he became a little bit more flexible to be able to cover better. He was good at covering underneath, but he started being able to be better covering deep. And Justin Reed, when I watched him, I had a couple breakdowns of him. There's a few things I really like. One, he has eye discipline, and he's physical when he gets downhill. And he trusts what he sees. He plays with good base. He doesn't over-pursue. He plays with good discipline. There's a one play of a fumble. He was going after the ball carrier, and Michael Pittman Jr., USC's receiver, was going to block him. Reed got his hands in first, able to shed the block and find the football. He was going to shed the block and make the tackle, but as soon as he saw the ball out, he threw Pittman to the side and went and made the play on the ball. He does that quite often. He does a really good job of using his arms and his length to keep defenders out of his body. To shed blocks pretty easy. That's something, again, that like James does. Now, he can cover, but there's times, a couple plays in the Pac-12 championship game, that he was in perfect position, but he hurt himself. One against a slot receiver, really fast receiver. He ran right with him, used his length to run with him, perfect coverage. When he goes to track the ball, he loses sight of the receiver. Receiver gets behind him, catches the ball at the half-yard line. And he was kicking himself in the butt for it because he's a perfectionist like his brother, and he wants to be perfect. So he knows that's coachable, though. You can teach him when to look for the ball. Another play, he had perfect coverage. He didn't need to touch the receiver. All he had to do is get his hand around and swap the ball away. Instead, he's pushing the receiver and gets too physical, pass interference. And if he cleans up some of these things, he could be just as big of a good, I think almost as good as Minkah Fitzpatrick covering, but he could definitely be a lot better than the safeties Miami currently has that can cover. And again, he was used very similar to those guys. He played in the slot, lined up a linebacker, box safety, deep safety, played to the strong side, played to the weak side. He played to, if the team put all their speed on one side, he would play to that side over top. So he's versatile to play all over the defense. He's just not quite as ready to go like those other two are, but I think he has a lot of skill, and he's got the work ethic to actually want to get better and be that good. Plus, he has his brother to rely on, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last safety I want to talk to you about is someone else you have in your article. And if you haven't checked out Brett's latest article, check it out. It's up on the website, dolphinstalk.com, where he talks about a few safeties who would be a nice fit for the Miami Dolphins. The last one is Kaiser White from West Virginia. What are your thoughts on him?
I like him. It's one of those players that it's hard to explain why you love his game. But if you look at one of the first plays I posted, he was laying the wood. Well, maybe not. That was one of the last plays, I believe. But just laying out a running back. And we know Jones and McDonald do that, mainly Jones. However, it doesn't hurt to have another guy that can bring the wood. But one thing I like about him is he's transitioning and preparing to play linebacker and safety. But he's preparing in case teams ask him to gain weight to play linebacker, he's willing to do so. But he could be a guy. He covers pretty well. Not great. He's not as athletic as his brothers, Karan White and Kevin White. But he does have enough athletic ability to cover in a short area. He's a little bit more like McDonald, but I think a better version of McDonald. I think he has a higher ceiling. But when he is not afraid to make a tackle, stick his nose in there, which is something that our linebackers, they struggle tackling the open field. I'm hoping McMillan can help that. Kiko is not very good at tackling the open field. So I think what can happen with a guy like Kaiser White, he can replace Kiko, and Kiko can move more to like a middle slash strong side backer, and White can play more of like a safety slash weak side backer where that hybrid comes in. And in the Senior Bowl, he really showed really good ability to cover running backs and tight ends. And he actually, in practices, he kept picking the ball off when quarterbacks were in trouble. They were trying to force it to their tight end and running backs just like they do in the NFL. And he was making them pay for that. He did that in college too. But the one thing it's uncoachable that I love to see from him is he times his blitzes perfectly. The last play I have against Utah, against a very athletic quarterback, he waits for the guard to block down with the center. He times it, shoots the gap, and gets to the quarterback before the quarterback can even react to run out of the pocket. You would think the pocket's collapsing where the quarterback reacted, and it's not. He had plenty of room to dodge it, move. He didn't have enough time. He couldn't react because he got there that fast. He is a guy that I really think that he could actually change the defense. He's not as fancy as Fitzpatrick or James, but he just does everything well, and I love watching him play. I love the way he does things, and I think he could actually be like a really good tweener linebacker and safety.
Yep. Now let's switch over and talk a little bit about the cornerbacks. And before we get into some of the guys individually, what are your thoughts overall about this class? Because I was looking at it and I was sort of seeing who the top guys are in this cornerback class. And to me, it's a class that's filled with a bunch of guys that look very raw. There's one or two guys who look like they're ready for the NFL right now, but overall as a group, altogether, it seems like a raw group of guys who have a lot of potential, but just are raw and need a little bit of fine tuning. So what are your thoughts on this group overall?
Overall, I think you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of raw with these corners. The corner draft to me is very similar to the wide receiver class because when you look at them, you have guys that are nickel guys, that are outside guys, some that are better at bump and run, some that are better in zone. And that's why you see a lot of these grades, like especially for receiver and corner, they're all over the place. Some people love Jair Alexander. But then there's some things like me, there's some things I like about him, some things I don't. I think he's going to be really good, but there's some things that I just don't see in him that I'd like to see. But some people are infatuated with his game. There's guys like Denzel Ward. He doesn't have the size that you would expect, but he plays like he's 6 foot, 200 pounds, but he's really only, 5'11", 280, something like that, or 180. He's not huge, but he's one of the best corners in this draft. Then people are hot and cold on Josh Jackson because he's a big play guy, but there's times that he gives up big plays and making mental mistakes. But the class is very, it's anemic. I don't understand it, honestly.
Yeah. Because, the Miami Dolphins for the past handful of years, they like guys at the cornerback spot who are at least 6 foot or more. And in this group, there are a few guys like that, but most of the guys at the top, like Ward and Hughes and stuff, they're not even 6 foot. They're like 5'10", maybe. You know what I mean? 5'10", 5'9". A lot of smaller guys in this group. There's a couple guys with size, but a lot of guys really aren't that big. So let's start off talking about some of the guys who might be going round one, round two. Let's talk a little bit about Ward from Ohio State. He'll probably be off the board before Miami picks, but you never know the draft. Anybody could slide. And if he is there at pick number 11, I wouldn't be shocked if Miami selected him. But once again, height-wise, I'm not sure if he fits in what Miami wants, but he's a really good corner. So talk a little bit about Ward.
Yeah, I like Ward, and I think he is – he's well-coached. He sticks to his fundamentals. He's very aggressive. Kind of reminds me of Desmond Trufant from Atlanta that came out of Washington. Very similar, as he's not huge, but he plays bigger than that. He plays bigger than his size. He gets physical. The one thing I love about Ward is he can step in and be a nickel corner or an outside corner right away, which you can play matchups. Now, you think with New England, every time Miami faces New England, you need two nickel corners. The Ravens always tear the Dolphins up with the tight ends and slot receivers and short dink and dunk passes, because the corners that Miami has are not very good in short areas because they're long. A guy like Ward can kind of give you that depth and play rotation based on matchups. I really like his game. I mean, there's not a whole lot of flaws in it. He can be beat over his head by big receivers, obviously. But again, I think if you play him in matchups and you got a team that's got shiftier inside guys, he can match right up with them and take them out of the game. But if you look at Denver, New England, those two, they run with three good corners all the time. Minnesota does as well. And they play them on matchups. You know, they move them around based on who they're facing, and they try to play the best matchups. And I think, just like pass rushers, you can't have too many cornerbacks. And the Dolphins did say that you can't have too many corners. I like Tony Liffitt. I respect the guy. I like how hard he's worked, how much he got better in 2016. And I like him as depth, especially maybe as safety later on, as a free safety. But I don't really think he's quality depth. He still has learning to do. And so if Ward is there and he's the highest player, let's say James is gone and Fitzpatrick are gone, I think Ward would be a fantastic pick at 11. I wouldn't argue with it. I wouldn't complain. He's got a lot of talent.
And I think he'll be long gone by pick number 11. I could see him going, you know, number 5 to the Broncos if they stay there. He could go number 6 mm-hmm. to Indianapolis if they stay there. he could be in Tampa Bay. He could go Chicago. I mean, he could go pretty much anywhere in that top 10. So I don't think he'll be on the board. But he could be. You never know. Another guy I've seen projected to go late round one, first part of round two, which I don't get, honestly, is Mike Hughes out of Central Florida. Mm-hmm. Now, Hughes is a prime example of what I've been saying with this class. He's a guy who's short and is very raw, very, very raw. But he can also help you in the return game, so he does have that going for him. I don't see him as a guy who should go round one or even probably go at the top of round two. But because this class – is kind of weak, you probably will. What are your thoughts on Mike Hughes?
He's definitely raw. He's only had 2 years playing, 1 year as a starter. So he's definitely not a guy that's polished by any means. I mean, he made the best of his time playing. Don't get me wrong. He's definitely done that. But his size is a concern, again, 5'10", 189. But he's not like Ward, where he plays bigger than his size. However, I do think his best fit is probably in the slot. I know he has a hard time keeping up with shifting receivers at times, but it's usually when he gets sloppy. But when he can get hands on right away, he does a good job of disrupting routes, disrupting timing, and that's when he's at his best. If he's in off coverage, it's going to get ugly. He's going to get beat, especially with the shiftier underneath the receivers, and that just won't look good. I don't see him in the bottom of the first round, in my opinion, unless some crazy stuff happens. A run on corners happened in the first round. But I think he's a project. I think he's second round. I think he's got potential for sure. But he's going to have to get better. He's going to have to get polished. He needs more experience. He's going to have to learn. I think he would be really good going into a veteran group of defensive backs. I'm not sure he fits in Miami with a lot of the youth there, because I'm not sure that would help him get better. I mean, I know that's why you have coaches, but sometimes you need those veterans to help you along the way.
Yep, absolutely. And the last guy I want to talk about is actually probably my favorite guy in this class, who is Isaiah Oliver from Colorado. He's 6'1", so he's got nice size. He played in the Pac-12, so he has very good experience there. And I've seen him go anywhere, again, late round one to the first part of round two. If he was there in the second round, and if he's someone who Miami wanted to bring on for another corner, you know, I for me, I wouldn't be looking to add a cornerback here in this draft early. But if they did and it was him, I wouldn't be upset because I think he has a bright future in the NFL. What are your thoughts on Isaiah Oliver?
Well, he fits the mold of the corners that the Dolphins have drafted in the past 2 years. Yeah, Xavier Howard.
He's got length. And,
yeah, exactly. And Cordarius Tank, Kersley. Now, those two are 6 foot. Well, I think Howard's actually 5'11". But both of them in really long arms. Tank Kersley especially. He's got arms like a 6'3" corner. Yep. So he's got long arms. And Oliver does too. And he's 6'1". 190, he's got the mold. He looks the part of what the Dolphins have looked at. And he actually, I think, would fit a lot better than the Mike Hughes. And he can't play slot, though. I don't see him in the nickel at all. He's not elusive enough. He's not loose in his hips enough. But he has good ball skills, and he does catch the ball very well. He doesn't drop a lot. A lot of the easy interceptions that you see cornerbacks dropping, you say, well, that's why he's on defense. This guy actually catches them quite often. The one problem I don't like with him, and it's coachable, is he's too high at times, especially when he's trying to backpedal and stay with the receiver. He gets too high, and what happens is a lot of the receivers, when they cut, he can't stay with them, and they beat him. And that's happened a couple times, especially in the Pac-12. And I do worry sometimes the corners in the Pac-12, because those receivers, they don't always run crisp routes. They run just good enough routes. But he does a really good job of getting physical at the line to not give them a free release, which forces the timing off, which is something the Dolphins have said. Remember Adam Gase said before the Patriots game, he wants to see his corners get hands-on and disrupt the timing. That's why I keep mentioning that. And that's something I see out of Ward, and I really see this out of Oliver, because I don't know, something about him, I think he's got NFL ability. I think he's going to be one that sneaks into the first round. I think Hughes falls a little bit, but I think Oliver goes in the first round, probably bottom of the first.
I agree. Would not shock me in the least, because that is one of the prime positions in this league. You know, when you're 6'1", with any bit of speed like he has and such, I think he'd be a good fit. He'd be a very good fit for a team. I could see him going late round one, first part of round two for sure. Now, last question. Out of all the guys at safety and cornerback, we talked about a handful, obviously. We can't get into all. Is there one guy at either spot who is flying under the radar who you think is a find or is a bit of a sleeper that you kind of hope Miami would be looking at, you know, rounds, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, somewhere like that? Is there anybody out there like that?
Well, I think one name that a lot of people aren't talking about is Latrell Jamerson. He's from Wisconsin. Excuse me. He was actually started as a wide receiver, moved to corner, and then moved to safety. He's very raw, but he has the ability to play corner and safety. He's not afraid to hit. He's only like 190 pounds, like 6'1". But he kind of reminds you of, at times, of Devin McCourty, the way Devin McCourty plays safety. You can see the fact that he was a receiver in a corner. He has good movement. He has really good instincts. And maybe that's his time for playing offense, but he has really good instincts of where the ball's going. And he has a good timing of getting to the receiver at the right time and knocking the ball away. And I think with a little coaching and some time playing and time kind of rotating in, I think he could actually be a really good player and could be had probably early day three, like maybe fourth or fifth round, maybe even later. But I actually think he's one of those guys that you can groom into a pretty good starter. Kind of like, I tell you who he reminds me of, Glover Quinn from the Lions.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and I know a little bit about him. I know he's from Florida, so he is a Florida kid who went to Wisconsin for college. But, I do know a little about him. So, he is a sleeper for sure who could probably be had on day three and maybe be a little safety, cornerback, special teams help for sure. So, Brett, thanks so much for all your hard work here, breaking down all these spots, not just today with the safeties and the cornerbacks, but with the running backs, offensive linemen, with the quarterbacks, wide receivers. We'll probably have you back on early next week before the draft. Talk about the draft, and we'll just get some thoughts, some predictions on what you think Miami might do. And we'll talk about some stuff with the draft. So thanks so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Hey, no problem. It's been my pleasure. I look forward to doing more.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.
Joining me on the podcast right now are two new members of our website who will be having their own podcast soon. They are Landon and Jeff. A little bit about these guys. Jeff is a three-time Emmy Award winning TV producer, and Landon is his son. So we have some generations here of Miami Dolphins fans. Both are diehard fans of the Miami Dolphins, and they will have a new podcast on our site soon. So guys, welcome. And Jeff, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself to all of our listeners here at DolphinsTalk.com.
Well, thanks, Mike. Super excited for the opportunity to do this, not just because getting to talk about one of my favorite things, but getting to do it with my favorite person, my son, Landon. So I moved to Miami in 1983, which was obviously, for those slightly older listeners, a pivotal year in Dolphins history. Grew up going to games at the Orange Bowl. And, you know, the Dolphins have been such a big part of my life, quite honestly, sometimes a frustrating part of my life. But what's been really special is being able to share this whole experience with my son, who I dragged in there. And Landon, why don't you tell people of how many games you've been to at whatever we're calling our stadium, of course, the last couple of years, Hard Rock. For a while, it went through a bunch of names. Tell us, for everyone, the interesting fact about the team's record when you've attended a game.
I have never seen the Dolphins lose a game at home. Now, however, on TV, it's a different story.
Yes, and right I want to buy you season tickets to the Miami Dolphins to keep the streak alive so they get at least 8 wins next year. I wish I could, but I'm not sure it quite works that way. But that is a good little streak you got there, Landon.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we need to do is we need to start some type of campaign to get Landon into Hard Rock, you know, just because if we could do it. And then let's just go for the road games, too. I mean, it's great this year. We're only going to be in the two time zones that are, you know, east and central. So there's a fighting chance.
We can make this work. Absolutely. Yeah, Landon, you got something to say?
Other than I'm really excited to do this podcast, it's going to be a lot of fun with my dad. Not really.
Okay, that's
we'll work on that before the first show. We'll work on that before the first show, buddy. It is going to help when we're doing a podcast that you actually have things to say, because podcasting is an audio medium. So we're going to work hard on that. But I will say, Mike, that you know, it's been really fun for me over the last while to listen to all the work you guys have done, you, Tom, and the other guys on the team, and we're just excited to be a small part of it and to kind of share maybe a different viewpoint. You know, as much as the Dolphins, you know, can frustrate us, you know, the one thing that I can take from it is my son and I, and my daughter too, when she comes to the games, we have a great experience as a family attending the games, watching the games, talking about the games, wishing certain things happened differently. It's been a big part of our lives, and just to kind of share that with other people who I'm sure have that same experience is going to be awesome. So
yeah,
we're really excited to get going.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, it's just a game. And as much as we love the Miami Dolphins and enjoy being part of this website and putting out shows and stuff, at the end of the day, it is just a game, and it is something that can make friends. I have met so many people through this website who are also fans of the Miami Dolphins, friends I've made for life. So it's a great thing. And for you guys, a father and son, to be able to have a show like this, talk about the Dolphins, and get a different perspective as well. That's why I think Landon's going to be great on this, because sometimes as fans, we – who are like a little bit older, I should say, like maybe your age or my age, Jeff. We get so involved in the nitty gritty and stuff. To hear, to see it, and sometimes now hear it through the eyes of someone who's a little bit younger, I think sort of is it will be interesting to say the least, because it sort of puts things in perspective too, that, you know, we were all Landon's age at one point and we all saw the game one way. And as we get older, sometimes you get a little jaded with stuff. But that's why I think this is going to be a great show, having the generations spanned here. And you guys are going to be great. I know you're going to be great. So we'll have a new podcast up here on the website soon. Have you guys decided when you're going to do your first show yet? Or is that still like a little bit of a work
in progress? Mike, I think what we're going to do is we're going to try to get something up either just before the draft or just after the draft.
Yep. Okay.
You know, Landon's busy scouting players right now, but who do you want them to take it? If they don't make a trade, and we know that there's a good chance a lot of trades left, but who do you want them to take at number 11? The sounds of silence. Hopefully Landon will have an answer before our first podcast.
Absolutely.
As to who we want him. Who do you want him to take, pal?
I'd like to see a new quarterback in. Maybe Baker Mayfield, or if one of the better quarterbacks slide down the draft board and we could pick up one of them. But I'd be fine seeing Baker Mayfield in a Dolphins jersey.
I think a lot of fans are seeing it the same way as you are, Landon. I think not, and it's not even something against Ryan Tannehill. It's just that it might be time for a fresh start, and it might be time for either Mayfield, who I'm not sure he's going to be there from the sounds of it now, or maybe a Josh Rosen, or even a sleeper candidate who I would not be shocked to see Lamar Jackson maybe even go at number 11. He could be a sleeper there. I think it's not out of the realm of possibilities that the Miami Dolphins here make a big move in round one and sort of reshape the franchise with a new quarterback. So we will see. But, guys, it's great having you on, and we'll be looking for that new show in about a week or so, and we'll have it up here on the website, everybody. So I just wanted to have on Jeff and Landon to sort of introduce them to all of our listeners here at DolphinsTalk.com. And we have a brand new podcast that will be out soon. Jeff, Landon, thanks so much for a few minutes of your time tonight. And we look forward to your new show.
Thanks, Mike. We're both excited.
Thank you. Yeah.
Have a good one, guys.
Once again, I would like to thank Brett Legassi as well as Jeff and Landon for joining me tonight on the podcast. A great show. We've had a lot of information on the show, and I would like to thank them for joining me tonight. And like I said, Jeff and Landon will have their new show in a week or two. Not quite sure when that will be released, but that'll be coming out soon. And Brett Legassi, for all of his hard work he has done covering the upcoming NFL draft. And we will have Brett on again next week to talk about some draft scenarios, possibilities, how things might play out, and such like that. We'll have a new show. I'm going to do a show this weekend, either Saturday or Sunday, not sure when, and then we will have shows all next week. I will have a show every day next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, leading up to the draft. We'll do a show. I'll probably do a show Thursday night after the draft, after round one, and then we'll have another show Friday. So we're going to have shows every day next week. Just plan on it. So we'll do one show this weekend, and then every day next week we're going to have shows. There's going to be a ton to talk about. I'm going to have a whole bunch of guests. I got people lined up to come on. We're going to break down this draft from every way possible, talk about the rumors, talk about what might happen, what might not happen, who you would like to see Miami pick, who you'd be, I'm really not too keen on them picking them at 11. So we're going to have all that stuff next week. We got a bunch of new articles up on the site too. Brett's got a couple up. He's got one up right now on the safeties in this draft. He'll have another one released, which by the time most of you, probably on Friday it'll be up, on the running backs, or on one running back at least, and such. And I'm going to have a new article up this weekend on a scenario I think is very plausible, realistic, and would solve a lot of the Miami Dolphins' problems on defense that I think could happen in this draft if they're smart. So that article I will be releasing either Saturday or Sunday. What else do we got? Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk. Oh, as well, tomorrow, Friday, or if you are listening to this on Friday, I will be on Sirius XM NFL Radio in the 4 o'clock hour. I was told I'll be on early in the 4 o'clock hour talking about the Miami Dolphins and also making their pick and their mock draft for the Miami Dolphins. So be sure to check me out Friday, April 20th, in the 4 o'clock Eastern hour on Sirius XM NFL Radio with Pat Kerwin, Jim Miller, talking Miami Dolphins football. I will be on as a guest. So be on the lookout for that. And I think that's it. As always, be sure to follow the website to re-air this podcast. They are FinFanatic.com. FinFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, and Dolphin-UK.com. as well as the Facebook pages, Fanatics and Doll Fanatics. So that's all I have for tonight. Everyone have a great day and a great Friday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.